Kurt and Kate Mornings, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. here on Moody Radio Florida.
Here's today's moment from the show.
With us on the line are Dr. Gary Chapman and Dr. Clarence Schuler, and look what God has done in their lives because they chose to have open hearts. They are with us this morning because they believe building friendships across racial and cultural lines will change lives and our country for the better. We need this. We need this. Their belief inspired their new book, Life-Changing Cross-Cultural Friendships, How You Can Help Heal Racial Divides, One Relationship at a Time. They're helping us develop loving friendships that challenge our perspectives and enrich our lives and make our country better. And thank you, gentlemen, for doing that and joining us this morning.
Well, thank you, Kate. Glad to be with you.
Yes.
Hey, John. Glad to be with you too, Kate.
Yes. Yeah.
Welcome. Yay.
Yes, we're so glad you're with us. We've talked to each one of you individually, and you've mentioned the book, so now we get to really talk about the book. And it's for such a time as this is what hits me right away. This book could not be timed better. I mean, sure, we wish it happened hundreds of years ago, but for now, this is a wonderful time to help us all learn how to navigate what's going on. And you did it during a most difficult time. You developed your friendship at a time when your community was in desegregation, just starting to be desegregated. Tell us about the beginning of your friendship.
Well, it all started in a church gym. Okay. So why don't you tell them about it, Clarence?
Sorry.
Well, no, that's okay. It started in Winston-Salem, 1968, and a friend of mine was going to an integrated school. I was still going to an all-black school. And the girls at the church invited my buddy Russell to their church, and which is where Gary worked. And so back then, with the racial tension, you never went to a white environment by yourself. It's kind of an unwritten law. And so we had to get our parents' permission to go to this church. In fact, my whole family had like a family town hall meeting to determine if we could go to a church because things were so intense back then. And so they let us go. I was not a believer, but I did, yell out, "Hey, Jesus will be with us." And that kind of turned the tide. And we went, and once we crossed the railroad tracks, people threw bottles and called us names and stuff. And so I just told Russell, "These girls better be pretty." And so we finally got to the church, and we were only two black kids there. And Russell saw the girls he was friends with, and I went to the basketball court. And our main incentive for going was because of basketball, and this church had built a new gym. And while I was on the basketball court, Gary came over to me, this tall, slender, white guy, and introduced himself and said he was glad that I was there. And that kind of surprised me, but also made me feel relaxed. So that's really how I met Gary.
Wow. Well, yeah. What was it like, Gary, for you to be the youth pastor at the church, and you saw a couple of kids come that weren't, there all the time, and it was in the desegregation. What were you thinking? What were you feeling?
Well, my adult leaders that were there with me in the gym kind of looked at me and pointed to the two guys, as if to say, "Do you see that?" And I raised my hand as if to say, "It's okay, it's okay." And so, I've had experiences before, with the black community, even in those days. But Clarence is right. It was really a tense time. I remember I woke up one morning and stepped outside, and the National Guard was on the streets outside. And, the Ku Klux Klan had been marching downtown until the Black Panthers got there. It was a very tense time. And as you said, school integration was just taking place in our area. And so, I knew that every individual is made in the image of God, and every individual is important to God. And so I was being friendly. We weren't friends, obviously. I just met, but I was treating him as though he were a friend, which I think is where friendships begin. Really, it's by being friendly to people and treating them with dignity and respect. And when you do, that's kind of the first step and the possibility of building a friendship.
Tell us about the story about two men bonding over minivans while at the gas station.
Well, that's actually one of our spiritual sons. Who's actually a white guy who's about 6'4", and, I don't know, 2-something. He used to be a lineman in football. And he was at the gas station in his minivan because they have 4 kids. And he saw this black guy who also was doing his driving a minivan, filling the minivan up. And so he said, hey, nice minivan. And the black guy said, well, I wish it was a truck, but we've got 5 kids and 1 on the way. And so my friend Scott said, hey, I know what you mean. And so they struck up a conversation and really seemed to enjoy each other. And they didn't trade numbers there, but they talked enough to where Scott knew who the guy was, knew how to find him, and looked him up. And they went out to lunch together. And while having lunch together, they discovered they both were Christians, and they've developed a friendship that has lasted several years. This is fairly recent. And so just by being courteous, just by initiating conversation, you can build friendships.
It can be uncomfortable, though, at the same time. There can be some conflict. And how do you work through an uncomfortable conversation with a friend who is different, a different race?
Well,
Gary,
yeah,
you want to take that?
I think that. Yeah, I'll just give you an example. Not long after Clarence and his friends started coming to our Tuesday night things, because that first night I said to them at the end of the evening, I said, hey, guys, we're here every Tuesday night. You guys are always welcome. And they started coming. And so not long after that, I went by the house one night to pick them up in my car. And I got out of my car, and they were on the porch, he and another friend named James. And I started walking toward the house, and I said, you boys ready to go? And James said, I ain't no boy.
Mm.
And I said, okay, James, I think we need to talk. I said, after the meeting tonight, let's talk. I want you to explain to me what you're saying. And so we went on to the meeting, and that night, Clarence and James and I don't know, we must have talked for a couple hours, and he was explaining to me, and they were explaining to me, you know, our dads who are grown, who are adults, are sometimes called men by white guys, and our parents just told, our fathers told, don't ever let a white guy call you a boy, you know. And I got it, you know. I saw how they interpreted that. And I said, man, I am sorry. I had no idea that would communicate that. And then I gave them my side, you know. I said, you know, guys, if I were picking up 2 white guys your age, I said boys, because to me, boys is an age. It's not nothing to do with race. And they understood me and my perspective. So, you know, it's that kind of thing that when you begin a friendship, you're going to run into some of those things where the person of the other race or culture is going to perceive certain things in a different way from what you perceive them. But that's the value of friendship, is that we're learning how to understand each other and why we respond to certain things the way we do. So having conflicts along the way is just a part of having a friendship across racial lines.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'd like to add to that just real quick, sure, that the fact that he was an adult male was really important. And the fact that he would allow us to share our perspective, that was huge. And then he shared his perspective. But what happened during that, we learned something about Gary we didn't know before. And then we appreciate that he didn't quit. He didn't get defensive. And we were very honest and open. And then he learned something about us. And really, when you work through conflict correctly, whether it's cross-cultural or even in a marriage, it actually can bring you closer. And I think that's what it did for us. And so after that, Gary could have called us boys if he wanted to, but he never did.
Amen. Hmm. Amen. When we come back, we're going to talk about the word colorblind and how it may not be what you think it is.
Jesus, your name is power. It's breath.
Thanks for joining us today on Moody Radio Florida. This is Kurt and Kate Mornings.
This side of heaven, our stories are often sad and unfinished. The divorce that nobody wanted, the high schooler that left her faith, the crash that claimed that toddler. But these are the very stories impacted by the gospel through Moody Radio. And someday in heaven, you'll hear the other half of those stories, and you'll know that God really did use your gifts to change lives forever. Thank you for giving to Moody Radio.
We are talking with Dr. Gary Chapman. You know him from the Five Love Languages. Dr. Clarence Schuler, he is the president and CEO of Building Lasting Relationships and the Love Doctor. And they have written together a book, Life-Changing Cross-Cultural Friendships, How You Can Help Heal Racial Divides One Relationship at a Time. And we thank you guys for being with us this morning. Really appreciate it. And, you know, you were writing the word colorblind. And this is something I've been guilty of as I was growing up. If you were nice to me, I'd be your friend. I didn't care what you looked like. But I didn't get to know you either and why there might be an issue. So colorblind, why is that a double-edged sword?
Well, I think that most people, well, a lot of people use the term colorblind. And where I really see it come up is when I do my diversity consulting. And I was in the very first session, some person, usually a guy, will say, hey, I'm colorblind. I don't see color. And I said, wow, I'm so sorry you're colorblind with all the beautiful colors. And I say, well, and then I'll ask, what color is your shirt? And I say, well, it's blue. And I say, well, hold up. I said, now you say you're colorblind, but you can tell me the color of your shirt. What's going on? And I said, well, really, I treat everybody the same. I don't really see color. I said, but you actually do. And so why do you do that? And so they're trying to do the equal thing, but from a person of color's perspective, they have a different view on that. In fact, they may say, you say colorblind, that you don't see me. You don't see me as an individual. You don't value me. And then if you don't see me because you're colorblind, then do you see any color at all? And if you treat everybody the same, that doesn't always work because people are different. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people can unintentionally create division. And there's sometimes people use the term colorblind, that if you ask enough questions, they do have an issue with race. So it's really not the best word to use to say I'm colorblind. And we do need to understand and actually embrace difference because God actually created difference.
Amen. Well, you mentioned that, too. Why do you think God celebrates diversity?
Well, I think God is just a very big in as a creator. And when he creates diversity, especially us as individuals, he has this whole idea of interdependency that, like, Kate, I need you, or I need Gary, or I need John. And because you have gifts and abilities I don't have. And so together, this interdependency brings about a unity. And when we come together with that unity, because God's all about serving, then that gives God glory. So that's really, he's trying to bring the body together because we need each other. Then that glorifies him. So I think that's why he's so big on diversity.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're speaking with Dr. Gary Chapman and Dr. Clarence Schuler on Moody Radio, Florida. And gentlemen, throughout the book, you have a call to action. It's to begin to seek a friendship with someone of a different race or culture. What are these steps? What are some key ingredients needed for this cross-cultural friendship?
Well, you know, John, I think you're certainly right about the message you're getting, because what we're asking in this book is, what if every Christian in this country had at least one really close personal friend of a different race or culture? Mm. We believe it would make a tremendous difference. And I think it all starts with the word courtesy. You know, that word comes from two Greek words. One word means the mind, and the other word means friend. So it's to be friendly-minded, is to think of other people as though they were a friend. And so it all starts in our heart and in our mind with God, and saying, Lord, help me to treat everyone that I encounter as though they were a friend. And that's the starting place. And then I think we begin to pray, Lord, you know, if it's your will for me to have a friendship of someone of a different race or culture, bring it to my mind. Kind of point it out. What's my next step? Because chances are you have acquaintances of a different race or culture.
you know, maybe at work, maybe at the sporting world, or maybe at school. You know, you run into people all the time who have a different race or culture. But Lord, show me someone that I might be able to have to build a friendship. And so it all starts with a conversation. You know, in the book, we talk about two ladies, one white, one black, and they kept seeing each other in the grocery store. Every week, they'd see each other in the grocery store and kind of smile and nod at each other. And one day, the white lady said to the black lady, she said, "This must be your shopping day. I keep seeing you here." And she said, "Yes, this is my shopping day." And so the white lady said, "Well, how are you doing?" And she said, "Well, I'm doing fine," she said, "except my mother's sick." And she talked about her mother's sickness. And the white lady said, "Well, I will pray for your mother, you know." And she said, "I would appreciate that." Well, that was the first conversation. So the next week, they saw each other again. And she asked, "How's your mother doing?" And so she gave her report and all. And she said, "You know, would you mind if I came to see your mother and just pray with her?" And she said, "Well, that would be fine." So she gave her the address, and the lady shows up with flowers and prays for this lady's mother. And then the lady told her next week, she said, "My mother was shocked that a white lady would come to our house and bring flowers and pray for me." You know, and they had several conversations in the store, and then they had lunch together. And then they started having lunch together several times. And eventually, the white lady had a Bible study, and she invited the lady to come, and she came. And so she began to be a part of that group, a study group, and made friends with people in the group. So, you know, it all starts with just treating people as though they were a friend, and that means you have a conversation with them.
Amen. You know, it sounds like my mother. She always said, "God loves everybody. You're supposed to love everybody." If we just listened to my mother, you know, life would be different. But
hey, your mother's got it right.
She did. And I thank you both, Dr. Gary Chapman, Dr. Clarence Schuler. Thank you so much. Your book is Life-Changing Cross-Cultural Friendships, How You Can Help Heal Racial Divides One Relationship at a Time. Thank you, Gary and Clarence. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Well, thanks.
Thanks for having us.
God bless you.
Hope to talk to you soon.
Yes.
Yeah. Blessings.
Yeah.